Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the JMRA podcast here, recording on early Monday morning, October the 12th, after another Sunday of NFL action. I am Joe Montana's right arm, here to bring you a recap of the day that was in the National Football League as we go over things with you. Again, a reminder, you can check us out on social media and on the blog as well. First, the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. Did some fun stuff on Sunday with live blogging the massacre of the Cowboys and Patriots as the Patriots did away with Dallas. We covered that one. You'll hear more about that game, of course, coming up in just a few moments. On Twitter, at joemsrightarm. Again, at joemsrightarm. I should mention, and I don't think I have mentioned this, I've been negligent in my duties in this regard. On Facebook, of course, as well, just simply search Joe Montana's right arm. So we try to run the gamut on social media, giving you info, funny stuff, all kinds of things to get you excited and, you know, push the ball for the National Football League. Anyhow, let's get to Week 5 in NFL action. A lot of news and notes coming out of these games, which we'll try to tackle in each individual game. Again, a reminder that this, of course, is our first of two podcasts during the week. The first one, we go through the NFL action on Sunday in about 10 minutes. It's go time. Game of the week. The Cincinnati Bengals defeated the Seattle Seahawks 27-24 in overtime in a great game, and one that will have the Seahawks and their fans scratching their heads assuredly for perhaps many weeks to come. The Seahawks actually led this game at one point in the second half, 24-7. Something is wrong in Seattle, and I think Jimmy Johnson on Fox maybe hit on perhaps one of the issues there, and it's that they're kind of selfish now as a team. This guy's complaining about money, that guy's complaining about money, and they're not really playing like a cohesive unit. There is no way any of the last three Seahawk teams that we've seen would have given up a 24-7 lead at home, on the road, on the moon, on Mars, anywhere. But that's what happened on Sunday against the now 5-0 Cincinnati Bengals. Big day for Andy Dalton, 331 yards, two touchdowns. Gio Bernard with 80 yards on the ground. Tyler Eifert with two touchdowns. So they hit a lot of their check marks offensively. For Seattle, no Marshawn Lynch again. Thomas Rawls, 169 yards on the ground, including a touchdown. That's great. They got the running game going, but again, Russell Wilson sacked four times. The Seahawks were actually 0 for 2 in red zone efficiency today, and Jimmy Graham, three catches, 30 yards, still missing in action on offense for the Seattle Seahawks. One thing to note here for the Bengals, getting back to them for a second, at 5-0, here are their upcoming games. At Buffalo, winnable game. At the Steelers, winnable game. Browns at home, winnable game. Texans, winnable game. At Arizona, we'll see. There is a chance by the time that Arizona game takes place, and that is in late-ish November, that you could be looking at a Bengals team that is 9-0. That is crazy that they could be 9-0. And, you know, depending on what happens with the Patriots have some, you know, I don't want to say they have a difficult schedule, but there's some potential landmines on New England's schedule. So Cincinnati could be well underway here for the race for the number one seed if New England and Denver, of course, stub their toe at some point. Elsewhere, in the overtime of Palooza that took place during the 1 o'clock games, Atlanta 25, Washington 19. This game ended on a walk-off pick six by Robert Alford of the Falcons, picking off Kirk Cousins and running it back to the house to give the Falcons a six-point win, 25-19, and really saving what would have been a rough loss for the Falcons. Matt Ryan did not play well. Julio Jones is battling a hamstring injury. Didn't really get going until the second half. Devontae Freeman had a huge game, 153 yards and a touchdown on the ground. The thing with Ryan, two interceptions, so a struggle for him. Did not throw a touchdown pass. The Falcons persevered and got through it, for the win. They are now 5-0. The Redskins are 2-3, mired in the muck of the NFC East. The Browns, in a shocker of some proportion, 33-30 against the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore in overtime. Just as a historical footnote here, Joe Flacco before this game, 13-1 during his career against the Cleveland Browns. This is a terrible loss for the Ravens, and it pretty much wipes out any momentum they had after the Steelers game a couple of Thursday nights ago. They're now 1-4 in the year. Cleveland jumps up to 2-3, and you know, you look, Baltimore led this game 14-3 after one, and then they allowed Josh McCown the rest of the way, 457 yards through the air, two touchdowns. Gary Barnage looked like Kellen Winslow Sr., 8 catches, 139 yards, and a touchdown, including one of the craziest catches of the season. He caught the ball with his legs. You'll have to check that one out when you get a chance. It'll be roaming around on the blog later this morning. The Packers, 24-10 winners over the Rams. Kind of a strange game. Aaron Rodgers, everyone talks so much about how he had not thrown an interception at home at Lambeau Field in 3 years. He threw two today for his troubles. He had a couple of touchdown passes as well. Todd Gurley, one of the big stories out of this game for the Rams, 159 yards on the ground, but to no avail. The Packers win, and now they go to 5-0. The Rams, 2-3 now on the year. They hung around. They made it a go of it, but just could not keep things going with the Packers as that game wore on. The Bears, 18-17 winners over the Kansas City Chiefs. Late Matt Forte, touchdown catch for the victory. The big news out of this game, Jamaal Charles tearing his right ACL, done for the year in all likelihood. And that's, geez, another ACL injury for Jamaal Charles. And this Chiefs team, this is going to get ugly, folks. It's going to get ugly. Now without their best offensive player, this is going to be a nightmare season for Andy Reid and company. The Eagles, 39-17 winners over the Saints. New Orleans is not very good. 1-4 now this season. The Eagles rise up to 2-3. Philly almost ran for 200 yards. It kind of shows you the state of the Saints' defense. Also, coming into this game during the pregame shows, discussions of Sean Payton leaving New Orleans for either Miami or Indianapolis after the season's over. When you're getting that discussion this early in the year, that's a terrible sign for the Saints. Eagles will host the Giants next Monday night for potentially a share of the lead in the NFC East. Tampa Bay 38, Jacksonville 31. Monster day for Doug Martin. 123 yards on the ground, three touchdowns overall. He had close to 160 yards, all-purpose yards, for the, what's he calling himself these days, the muscle ham? Wait, he doesn't want to be called the muscle hamster anymore, whatever it was that he felt was derogatory. Sorry, Doug. Blake Bortles, four touchdown passes, 303 yards. A fantasy footballer's dream in this one, 38-31, as the Bucs grab the victory. Tennessee and Buffalo engaging in an ugly contest. Buffalo wins at 14-13. The Bills now 3-2 on the year. I think I saw Tyrod Taylor literally play every position in this game. That's what it felt like. Taylor, 76 yards on the ground, led the Bills in rushing because of the fact that Buffalo was without the services of LeSean McCoy and Carlos Williams. So Tyrod Taylor runs for 76 yards to lead the team in rushing. He also caught a pass as well and then did his thing through the air to give Buffalo a one-point win, 14-13. Arizona eviscerating the Detroit Lions in Detroit, 42-17. Matt Stafford was awful, 188 yards, a touchdown pass, and three interceptions. He got benched, and then, of course, after the game was over in the post-game press conference, you could see he kind of had a little bit of an attitude as if to say, how dare you bench me, Jim Caldwell. I don't know who Matt Stafford thinks he is. The way that he has played this season, he has been, well, not very good. Carson Palmer, three touchdowns through the air. Chris Johnson and Andre Ellington just burying the Detroit run defense to help the Cardinals improve to 4-1. Elsewhere in Dallas, the Patriots clean house, 30-6 over the Cowboys. Another rough outing for Dallas. Took a little while for the Patriots to get going in this game because of the pass rush of the Cowboys. Greg Hardy coming back, and really, he was living in the Patriots' backfield for much of the first half of that contest. The Patriots allowed Tom Brady to get sacked 5 times, but overall, Brady, 275 yards, 2 touchdowns, still has not been intercepted this season. The Patriots have set now a franchise record for scoring through the first 4 games, topping the 07 undefeated regular season Pats in scoring. That team, by the way, went on to set an eventual NFL record for points scored in a season that was broken by the 2013 Denver Broncos. The Cowboys are in major trouble. They just can't move the ball down the field in the passing game. There's no zip there. And as a result, teams are cheating up and stopping the running game. So it is a mess right now for the Cowboys. Meanwhile, the Patriots look forward to next Sunday night for their long-awaited encounter with the Indianapolis Colts and whoever is going to be playing quarterback for them. That is going to be a messy, messy situation in Indy potentially next Sunday night. Cannot wait. Denver 16, Oakland 10. Peyton Manning, he threw 2 interceptions to Charles Woodson. I don't see how Denver can keep this up. Now, you look at their schedule, and you can kind of see how they can keep it up. The AFC West is not very good this year. We talked about Kansas City earlier. Oakland's not ready. San Diego's not very good. And then as for the rest of their schedule, I mean, they're playing the NFC North this year. That's not going to be overly challenging for them. So I just don't see Denver being exposed to such a degree that these problems are going to be exposed. They have Green Bay and New England coming up on the schedule this year, so that should be their 2 big primary tests this season on the schedule. If they win 13 or 14 games with this team, that's going to be a crime against humanity. So the Broncos win 16-10 without scoring an offensive touchdown. Chris Harris Jr., pick 6 of Derek Carr, runs it back, and that seals up the victory for the Broncos. And in perhaps the game of the week from the non-1 o'clock game division, the Giants topple the 49ers 30-27 on Sunday Night Football. Eli Manning, 441 yards through the air, 3 touchdowns, a go-ahead touchdown to Larry Donnell late with under a minute left to put the Giants out in front against really a surprisingly good effort from the San Francisco 49ers. I thought the game was going to be terrible. Got to give them credit. They at least made a go of it. Now the Giants will have the Eagles next Monday night in Philly as a part of a just confusing NFC East race as everybody's still jockeying for position. But right now the Giants atop the NFC East. One thing to note from that game, Odell Beckham Jr. had a hamstring injury. He came back to play in the game late. He was in there for that last possession. So it'll be intriguing to see just how much he can contribute next week in Philadelphia. And of course, Monday Night Football, Pittsburgh versus San Diego. That will do it for the JMRA podcast for this Monday morning, October the 12th. We will check back in, of course, on Thursday with a preview of Week 6 and also the Thursday night action in Week 6, too. Again, a reminder, at Joe M's Right Arm on Twitter, Joe Montana's Right Arm on the blog, joemontanasrightarm.com. And on Facebook, search Joe Montana's Right Arm. Whew. That was a mouthful, gang. Until Thursday, happy football, everybody.